Welcome to Bible Talk. It's a podcast where we read the Bible.
And then we talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people like me and you. And we're going to be beginning a new book from the New Testament. Not new as in it just came out, but new.
Yes.
To our podcast series.
Yes, yes.
The book of Matthew.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to begin with a genealogy.
Ooh.
Which I think is the first genealogy we've read in any of our podcasts.
So this will
be
so
fun. You can listen to us work our way through names we know not how to pronounce.
Ooh, that will be fun.
Yeah, we'll see what we got here.
Okay.
Okay, lovey. Take it away.
Okay. The genealogy of Jesus. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahashan. Nahashan, the father of Salmon.
Delicious.
Oh, my gosh. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose father was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiduid. Abiduid, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eluid. Eluid, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ.
Thank you very much.
You betcha.
For that challenging passage. So, a few things to highlight from a genealogy. You might think that's just a lot of names.
Right.
But it's really more than that, because it reveals a couple of interesting things. First off, this even number of generations, 14, 14, and 14. Pretty cool, as was illuminated there in, I think it was verse 17 that you read.
Right.
14 from Abraham, who was, if you're familiar with Scripture, kind of the father of faith.
Right.
We read about him. God makes a covenant agreement with him back in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15.
Right.
And so what the author is doing here is he's tying Jesus as Messiah back to these prominent moments.
Mm-hmm.
The prominent moment of this covenant between God and Abraham is important, because what it says is Jesus is from that covenant. He's from that line. He's
right.
From that promise. And then you get 14 more generations between Abraham, 14 from Abraham to David, and then 14 more from David to the exile, the taking away of the Israelite people from their homeland.
Right.
And being brought off into captivity by the Babylonian Empire. But it brings David into the genealogy 14 generations later, as if God's got a rhythmic plan that he's working
right
with here. And so these connections are made back to David, who, in 2 Samuel 7, God makes a similar covenant promise with David about his family line. And it's saying, hey, guess what? Jesus is a part of that family line too.
Right.
And then 14 more generations from the time of exile to the time when Jesus was born. Now, most of the names in that last 14 are names we're not familiar with, because a lot of that was taking place.
That was a real silent period of the Testament,
right.
You know.
In the period after what we would call the minor prophets had been written, and the time of Jesus, the intertestamental period, as some fancy people call it. The reason we don't know a lot of those names. But what are some of the names that stand out to you on this list of names here in Matthew chapter 1? And why do they stand out?
Well, Abraham, obviously, is a huge one. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, those are huge names throughout the book of Genesis.
Yeah, you can read all their stories.
Yeah,
there.
That are kind of repeated over and over again. It picks back up for me probably around the time of Boaz, because that was Boaz, Rahab, Ruth. Those are all big. And then it.
So if you read the book of Ruth,
yeah,
Boaz is the man that she marries. Ruth was.
She was widowed.
A widow, right? Was she a foreigner?
She was a foreigner, but she was also widowed.
Right, a widowed foreigner.
Which doesn't add up to much in, you know, ancient
so
history.
So it takes someone who, by standing in her time, not significant.
No.
But it points out, it brings her up intentionally as a part of this story. The Bible really is a unified story that leads to Jesus, that, to borrow a phrase from a podcast.
Right.
By the Bible Project, but it really is. This genealogy helps you see that.
It does, yeah. So Ruth is a big one, and then obviously kicking off with Jesse and his sons, but the most significant one, because he became king, was anointed king, and that's King David. So out of that first, you know, 14 generations, those were pretty pretty significant. And then in the second 14 generations, obviously everything that went down with David and Uriah and Uriah's wife.
So this is the adultery that took place.
Yes.
Right.
which
resulted
then, you know,
in Solomon's birth.
Yes.
Well, eventually.
Right. Yeah.
And in Solomon's birth.
I think the thing that stands out to me, even in these first 14, is there's a little bit of, well, there's a lot of bit of scandal, you know. It was pretty scandalous.
Not everyone in Jesus' family line, from a genealogical standpoint, was a saint at all times.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. So then it probably picks back up for me again. You know, every time I see Uzziah, I always think of... Wasn't he the one? It's not this one. There's more than one person named Uzziah. Oh my gosh. He was like, oh no, the ark is going to fall. And then it's like, zap.
That may have been a guy named Uzziah.
Right?
You're right.
But Hezekiah is a big one in regards to his kingship. And
you can
then
read about him as well.
Yeah. And Josiah, absolutely one of my favorites.
Who became king,
oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where Manasseh, he realized the law
king,
had been completely neglected. Nobody knew anything about it.
Yeah, you see a lot of great kings.
Yeah,
there.
But much like you said at the very beginning, I think the last 14, the only reason I know of any of them is A, because of this genealogy, but also just the last couple of names, that being Joseph, Mary, and knowing that Joseph's father was Jacob, you know.
So they trace this genealogy back through Joseph, not through Mary.
Right.
Even though Joseph was not Jesus' biological father.
Mm-hmm.
Parse out what that significance is, but we won't, because this is a everyday people discussion.
Well,
but
and I don't
really,
think they...
what's the important thing here?
Yeah.
To not spend too much more time on a genealogy is, even you didn't mention Rahab, she was a prostitute. Tamar engaged in prostitution.
Right.
These are a couple of the women that are mentioned. A couple of these guys who are mentioned in Jesus's line were terrible kings. So this has people who have blemishes, but it shows how great things can still come through. Like, God can work. He doesn't love sin, obviously. He hates it. But it doesn't stop God from doing what God's going to do. His plan can still work. He can take the broken pieces and bring about his will.
Right. And I think, you know, when you look at the consistent nature of God is that he brings beautiful things out of chaos. You know, like we tend to chaos. And when you look at, you know, even this genealogy, some of it was just pure chaos historically. Mm-hmm. That God's like, I'm building something.
Didn't look like God was building something in the midst of it.
It did not.
So if you catch someone in the middle of a project, it may not look like they're about to accomplish something.
Correct.
But certainly, you know, God obviously, he does. And yes. I think that's, so for everyday people, why is that significant? What can I get inspired by
right.
here? Hey, look, we're part of that story.
Yes.
When we're Christians, and our lives don't always look like they're going to amount to something.
No.
Or we're headed in the right direction, just in a snapshot moment. Don't give up. Mm. Keep straining at the oars. Keep doing right. Keep getting back on track. God can take the ups and downs of even your individual life and still produce something very, very significant.
Yes. Now, I don't want to talk about the genealogy. Obviously, we don't want to devote a lot of time to it, but why a genealogy? Can we talk about
that? I think
that?
It was important from Matthew, the author here, his standpoint is he wanted to validate Jesus as the Messiah.
But why did the other authors of Gospels didn't do that? Like, what's the significance of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, target audience for each of the Gospels might have been a little bit different. Okay? So with John, he may have been aiming more at a bit of a Greek audience, so he doesn't bring up a lot of that stuff or any
okay.
of it. He starts off with talking about Jesus as the Logos,
right?
The image,
the word,
right?
Yeah.
The word of God,
the icon.
And Matthew decides on perhaps a very Jewish audience reading his gospel. And so for them, Jesus was going to need credibility. If he's this Messiah we've been hearing about and waiting for, he
right.
needs to connect back to Abraham. He needs to connect back to David.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And these promises that have been made.
Good stuff.
All right. So in verse 18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. So they were engaged. But before they came together, you shouldn't be coming together.
No.
Before marriage.
Mm-mm.
She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to just break it off quietly. Or we
right.
would use the English translation, divorce. But they hadn't
right.
actually been married yet, so that can be a little confusing for us. But essentially, he was going to break off the relationship.
Right.
They did things very differently in courtship at that time.
They sure
in
did.
That place. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So in other words, it's like, oh, David's thinking of breaking it off, and that's not the plan.
Joseph, yeah.
Let's go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Joseph's thinking about breaking it off. That's mm-hmm. not the plan. Let's send an angel. And so the angel appears and says in verse 20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Mm-hmm.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. This prophet that he's speaking of, by the way, is the prophecy of Isaiah in the
yeah.
seventh chapter in verse 14. So this is 700 years before the time of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Isaiah had given this prophecy. 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and didn't break it off. Instead, he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son.
He's like, let me see about this.
Yeah. And he gave him the name Jesus.
Okay.
All right. As we wrap up the chapter, about this last bit that we read here.
Okay. It's not anything heady, but I just look at how the angel addressed Joseph. And he says, Joseph, son of David. Like he immediately then dives into, I know who you are. At the
part of this story.
Yes. And I can't help but wonder how much that had to do with spurring him toward obedience. A, an angel showed up in your dream, so that's not nothing. But the fact that this angel addressed him in such a way is like, you're nobility. You're from this line. You have an obligation to hear this and to listen and to obey. And I just think that's really cool that the angel addressed him in that way.
I think you see a couple of things about Joseph that might seem small, but they're significant.
Very.
His integrity.
Yes.
Right. First of all, before he was even approached by the angel and was thinking about breaking it off, he wanted to do it in a way that wasn't going to hurt
Mary.
He
didn't
want to shame her. Could have. Mm-hmm. But his character was not to do something like that, to lash back.
She could have been stoned to death.
And so that tells you something about him. And then secondly, I notice here that, you know, they get married, they make it official while she's pregnant, but he does not consummate. He doesn't say, hey, look, it's my right now that we're married.
Right.
He's like, if there's something that is conceived by God inside of this woman, this is sacred. And she's a sacred vessel at this moment. And I am just to honor her. It is not my place at this moment. That doesn't mean that afterward they didn't. And it would imply that they probably did.
Right. They had other children.
Because there are other parts of the scripture that talk about other children. So sorry, Catholics. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Anyway, that's a good place to wrap up because we're at the end of chapter 1 of Matthew.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us again. And as always, we like to give you a little bit of a reminder
to not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but to do what it says.